most merciful. Dear God, we have gathered here today as your witness to the dreams and aspirations of those who are seeking refuge in this land of yours. Dear God, we know your love knows no borders. Dear God, we stand here today as people of faith and a community of conscience and proclaim that you have not created anyone as illegal. Nor is your compassion exclusive. You embrace everyone from everywhere with equal love and mercy, and so do we. Dear God, we know your love knows no borders. May they come to live or work from the shores of Atlantic or from the Pacific. May we call them refugees or asylees, aliens or naturalized. We the faithful welcome them with our unconditional love, just as you do. Dear God, we know your love knows no borders. We pray that in this land, the home to people of all colors and many languages and whatever faith or no faith, all of them have only one status, that they are created by you and they deserve equal respect and dignity by all of us. Dear God, we know your love knows no borders. Dear God, as an immigrant to this land and as one of the millions of Muslims in this nation, I and we welcome everyone, for they are my brethren and they are my sisters. Dear God, we know your love knows no borders. And we invoke you, the dear one God, the creator of all of us, that may you grant us the strength and the patience to continue the struggle for dignity and respect for all children of Adam. May that be in the warm days or cold nights. May that be in solitude or in multitude. May that be on our feet or from our seats. And may that be in the corridors of power or the brutal borders. We ask that you bless us to always stand for that which is good for all people. And we say this as one people and with one voice, today and every day. Dear God, we know your love knows no borders. Amen.
There we go. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
My name is Rabbi Brant Rosen. I am a staff person for the American Friends Service Committee. I am a member of the Jewish Voice for Peace Rabbinical Council. But most importantly for tonight, I'm a very, very proud member of this remarkable interfaith community of conscience. It's truly an honor to be part of this journey that we're taking together. Tonight is a very important night on the Jewish calendar, and it is a wonderful confluence with our gathering. It is the eighth night of Hanukkah. Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights, is a holiday that proclaims the power of miracles. Al Hanisim, these words are part of our liturgy that we say on behalf of Hanukkah. We light one candle for 8 nights leading up to the final night, tonight, where the entire menorah is lit and the light shines the brightest. So it is just a wonderful harmonic convergence, if you will, with our gathering tonight, that this is also the night that the Jewish community lets its light shine the brightest. Most religious, I think all religious traditions light lights in the wintertime or the darkest time of year. For Hanukkah, what that means is that we are proclaiming the power of this miracle, the miracle of light, when times are at its darkest. We proclaim the miracle when times are at its bleakest, that the oppressed and the persecuted still find the power to rise up and struggle together. And that's what we are here to do together as this interfaith community. So we're going to light the Hanukkah, the Hanukkah menorah tonight. And before I continue, I'd like to invite all of my Jewish sisters and brothers to come up and join me. It is traditional to light the menorah in one's home and to put it in the window to proclaim the power of the miracle to the outside world. But this is our home. I'd like to think that we are lighting the Hanukkah in this interfaith context as one large family. So we will say the blessings, we will sing the blessings. There's two blessings. The first is praising God for inviting us to light the Hanukkah menorah. The second is for the miracles. Who has, oh my God, look at all these Jews. Until the moment we inevitably emerge into life renewed. We light these lights for the spirit of resilience that remains even after our strength has ebbed away, for the steadfast knowledge even as the lines are drawn, the doors are slammed shut, and the walls soar higher, that the impunity of the powerful cannot last forever. These lights we light tonight will never be used for any other purpose but to proclaim the miracle of this truth. It is not by might nor by cruelty, but by a love that burns relentlessly, that this broken world will be redeemed. In Omar, let us all say together.
Amen. Amen.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Congregations foundation of our faith is love, and the knowledge that no one is outside the circle of love and creation. Our core principles affirm the inherent worth and dignity of all people and the fundamental interdependence of all life. We are one, one humanity, one people. As the great universalist minister of the 1800s, the Reverend Olympia Brown, said so clearly, every nation must learn that the people of all nations are children of God and must share the wealth of the earth. Today, what we are witnessing at the U.S. border from San Ysidro Port of Entry to the detention camps housing children in Torino, Texas, is a human rights crisis and the visible devastation wrought by a lie that is being told again and again throughout this nation, the lie of scarcity. Scarcity is a lie that instills fear. Scarcity is a lie that is meant to protect the greed of the few. Scarcity is a lie that makes enemies of ordinary people struggling to survive. Scarcity is a lie that allows the wealthy to amass untold fortunes that could otherwise provide for the needs of all. The truth is, we are living in one of the most abundant times in our world, but it is also one of the most unequal and violent. And we must refuse and combat and resist this lie of scarcity, for this lie instills a fear that militarizes borders. It instills a fear that justifies violence, the tear gassing of children, and deporting people back to certain death. When we operate out of scarcity, the cost is human lives. When we operate out of fear, the cost is human lives. But when we are rooted in abundance and love, we respond with generosity in the fullness of our humanity, the gift that has been given to all of us, and we side with the suffering. Right now in the United States, we have a choice. That choice is between a culture of cruelty based in fear and scarcity or a path of compassion and justice and welcome. The choice we make will, in the end, define who we are. Amen. And make no mistake, my friends, we will be asked by our grandchildren what we did, where we stood, how we acted in this time, in the midst of this crisis. And it's not just this moment. Forced migration will be one of the defining challenges of our generation. The refugee crisis around the globe is a consequence of war, economic inequity, and climate change. We must prepare for it, not out of fear and scarcity, but with creativity, compassion, and the ingenuity that is based in a reverence for life. For a humanitarian crisis demands a humanitarian response. There is more possibility in this life than our leaders want us to believe. And whether we call it God's abundance or the abundance of the earth, this planet is our home, and there is room for all of us. Yes.
Good evening. I'm Lucy Duncan. I'm a Quaker and an organizer for AFSC, and it is amazing you all in this room, and to see the energy and the spirit and the courage that is here today. I'm grateful to be among you. Tonight I'm going to offer a prayer that gives some context for this moment, but then we're going to fall into the Quaker practice of some silent worship. I believe that silence can be wild, and can root us in the deepest parts of ourselves, and in the deepest longings for justice and for peace, and that I hope that as we enter the silence, you will let your body and your mind enter space that dreams of a possible future that contradicts the present moment. When the silence ends, it will be broken by a song. Standing at the border fence in Tijuana, construction workers hide their faces while making it higher. The wall is built abutting a shrine and inches from a family's home. Even the trees spread their branches, trying to stand in the way. As they build this new wall, a deep tear in the land, the remembrance of those who paid with their lives to reach sanctuary is obliterated, erased by this higher wall, this sturdy lie, a steel assertion that we are separate and not connected, that the land belongs only to a few, that fear is a force stronger than love. I remember standing next to the separation wall outside of Bethlehem. On the 30-foot wall, graffiti audaciously proclaimed, "Love wins." I walked into the Church of the Nativity, saw the place Jesus, a Palestinian Jew, was born. Those walls would have kept Jesus and Mary out. Why does so much obstruct seeking home and staying home? In southern Mexico, thousands walked across the border bridge, an image of passage, of yearning, of possibility. Some couldn't cross over the bridge. They swam across, holding out their hands for one another. They flee violence, they flee poverty, as they long, all they long for is to live in dignity and safety. They join together knowing that they could keep each other safer than if they walked alone. They seek peace, they seek shelter, they seek refuge. They are just people, organized by longing. They want to change Trump's heart. Together, they assert their right to migrate, their right to live as they desire. We gather at the borderlands to support their call. We gather knowing that we are all safer together, that we are stronger together than apart, that we can help to reach the hearts of many, that can help to knock down this wall, that we, the people, are co-creators of humanity and of justice. We come here to put our bodies in the way of the lie of separation. We come here to pray with our lives. We come here to knock down all the walls and armor that stand in the way of peace. We come to hallow the earth to which we all belong. We come here to touch those who seek asylum, to put our hands through the wall, to offer blessing. We come here to proclaim that it is our bodies that offer sanctuary for one another. We come here to create the sanctuary that is a refuge for us all. And now I invite you into the silence.
God who decided to stand for what is right towards our brothers and sisters who are simply trying to come to this country, many of them fleeing the very reality that bad policy from this country helped to create. Military policy that was bad, releasing of certain criminals back into their communities, which was bad. The reality that we have a history in this country where we continue to say that people are undocumented who come from Mexico and other places further south of the border, Honduras, when the fact of the matter is, the very place you're in tonight, California, New Mexico, Texas, all used to be Mexico. Really, the border, they're not trying to cross the border, but the border crossed them. And until we own this part of our history, till we deal with it, we can never really move forward. I wish I could be there. I'm here because my brother is very ill, and I would ask your prayers as we are dealing with this family matter. I know Liz and so many of you are there, and I just thank God for every one of you. I want to go straight to the heart of the matter, two passages of scripture. One is found in Ezekiel 22, when the prophet says, the people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and the needy, and they mistreat the foreigner, denying them justice. God says, I'm looking for somebody among them who will build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the Lord, so I would not have to destroy the city. And the strange thing is, Ezekiel had to conclude that God said, I could find nobody. This wall, however, would not be a wall like Trump is talking about building. It would be building up the wall of justice. It literally means in the text to make sturdy the way of justice. And the people were to stand in the gap. If there's anything, they stand in the gap like a mighty wall between the people who would block them, between the people who would hurt them, between the people who would oppress them. And God said, I need some folk that will get in that gap and back people away from the vulnerable. And that's what you're doing as you stand down there. You're standing between the forces of injustice and the people who need justice. You're standing between the forces of hatred and with the people who simply want love. And you're saying to the forces of hatred, forces of injustice, you cannot touch them without touching us. And for me as a Christian, justice says it's what Jesus came to do as well. He came to stand with the poor, with the broken, with the unaccepted. And he declared that every nation would be judged by its relationship with the poor, with the sick, and with the stranger or the immigrant. The work you're doing there, people may not realize it, is literally the work of not only saving our brothers and sisters who are immigrants, but working on saving the soul of the nation and the nation itself, or any nation of immigrants that begins to practice hatred towards immigrants is undermining its own future, is undermining its own life. So I encourage every one of you, stand in the gap with love, stand in the gap with truth, stand in the gap with grace, stand in the gap with mercy. Stand with our brothers and sisters. Stand until somebody recognizes that we're all one humanity. Stand until we love and recognize that we've all been made of one blood. Stand until people see other people as people and not people who need to be pushed down and destroyed and treated as second-class humanity. I encourage all of us to stand. And as Paul said, when we've done all to stand, stand even the more. God bless you. God bless you for all that you're doing. Know that it will make a difference. Know that God is happy that at least in this season, the answer is not what it was in the day of Ezekiel. No, I can find no one who will stand. But in this day, in the 21st century, God can count on.
As an organizer and an undocumented person, this situation at the border impacts me and my community directly. For Boyle Heights, it's 132 miles away from the border, and we've been attacked by the Border Patrol twice. We have had ICE raids in our communities, and we know the impact of the separation of families and deportations in our community. The Poor People's Campaign is organizing poor and dispossessed across the country. We are currently present in 40 states, and California has joined in the mission and the work to rid this country
of these five pillars of evil, poverty, systemic racism, ecological devastation, the war economy, and the distorted moral narrative. For us, these issues are very interlocked. And in order to change this system, we must fight them all simultaneously. This mission has now brought us to the border where we can clearly see the manifestation of these evils. For the poor in this country cannot ignore the exportation of these evils into the two countries like Latin America and more harshly in Central America. For systemic racism has manifested with anti-immigrant legislation, the termination of TPS, the massive deportation machines, and the militarization of the border. Ecological devastation has manifested in countries like Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, through free trade agreements that not only take people's lands away from them, but turn them into profit and contaminate them in the process. We must never forget the role of the United States in the assassination and the death of Berta Cáceres. The war economy has manifested itself when the United States intervenes in the politics of those countries and it stages coups and helps destabilize the economies of those countries. All of these actions have created poverty, and in the case of Central America, extreme poverty and extreme violence. In this season, where the distorted moral narrative is being used to attack our communities, we must combat them and counter them with the beautiful stories that I was taught as a little girl, of a family, of a man named Jose and his wife, Maria, who were fleeing persecution and were fleeing violence and migrated to look for a better life and a better place for their son Jesus to be born. The California Poor People's Campaign stands in solidarity with all the families, LGBTQ, and every single person in this caravan. We stand with every immigrant and undocumented person in this world because we acknowledge that the poor and dispossessed need to unite, not just here in the United States, but around the world, so we can bring justice, dignity, liberty, but overall basic human rights to all. Thank you so much.
Para mí como madre ha sido padre y también no tener respuestas a algunas preguntas que ellos me hacen. Una de ellas es, ¿por qué mataron a mi papito?
For me, as a mother, it has been very sad and difficult to comfort my children and to try to fill that void that their father left behind, and also not having answers to their questions. One of those questions is, why did they kill our daddy?
Porque ni yo tampoco entiendo por qué tanta crueldad hacia una persona, tantos golpes, tantas descargas eléctricas que le dieron, estando él en el piso, esposado.
Because I also don't understand why so much cruelty against one person. All the beatings, all the electric charges that they gave him while he was handcuffed and on the floor.
Ningún ser humano merece ser tratado de esta manera. Es por eso que yo soy la voz y he denunciado por justicia para que otras familias no pasen por el mismo dolor que ha pasado mi familia.
No human being deserves to be treated this way. This is why I have raised my voice and I have demanded justice so that other families don't have to go through the same pain as my family.
Y en este largo recorrido me he dado cuenta que no estoy sola en el dolor que yo y mi familia hemos tenido. Son muchas familias que han sufrido. No hay control en los agentes de la migración. Ellos actúan con impunidad. No cuentan, son unos, no cuentan con un sistema de rendimiento de cuentas. No hay transparencia. No hay justicia.
And in this long journey, I have realized that I am not alone in my suffering that me and my family have experienced. It's many families that have suffered because there's no control over immigration agents. They act with impunity. There's no system of accountability or transparency, and there's no justice.
Siento yo que con más agentes de migración, con las tropas militares en nuestra frontera, van a empeorar las cosas y más familias van a sufrir. Pero también sé que unidos vamos a cambiar estas políticas anti-inmigrantes que tanto nos afectan.
I feel that with more immigration agents, with the military troops at our border, things will get worse and more families will suffer. But I also know that together we will change these anti-immigrant policies that affect us so much.
En el camino por la justicia me he encontrado con otras familias que han pasado por la misma brutalidad de la migra y nos hemos unido en una sola voz con la esperanza de un cambio, de un mejor mañana.
In the journey for justice, I have met other families that have been through the same brutality from immigration agents, and we have come together in one voice with the hope of a change for a better tomorrow.
En San Diego, en Arizona, en Nuevo México, y en Texas, hemos marchado y unido nuestras voces por comunidades libres de militarización. Mi familia también ha viajado a Washington para llevar la voz de nuestros reclamos por la justicia, que en el mismo reclamo es el mismo reclamo de todas las familias afectadas.
In San Diego, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, we have marched and united our voices for communities free of militarization. My family has also traveled to Washington to take the voice of our claim for justice, which is the same claim of all the families that have been affected.
Nosotros nos hemos dado cuenta que juntos somos más fuertes y que hemos logrado algunos pequeños cambios, pero podemos lograr más porque la unión hace la fuerza.
We have realized that together we are stronger and that we have made some small changes, but we can accomplish more because unity makes us stronger.
Estoy esperanzada porque siento que ustedes están conmigo y porque también están con todas nuestras familias fronterizas, inmigrantes.
I feel hopeful because I feel that you are with me and also because you're with our families, our border families, and our migrant families.
Les quiero agradecer a cada uno de ustedes por el gran apoyo que están brindando para el bien de toda nuestra comunidad y de nuestros hermanos migrantes, porque todos somos hermanos, no importa raza, ni color, ni religión.
I want to thank all of you for the great support that you're bringing for the good of all of our community and for our brothers and sisters, our migrant brothers and sisters, because we are all brothers and sisters, regardless of race, color, or religion.
Yo como madre he estado mirando imágenes de estas familias centroamericanas que están en Tijuana. Es muy doloroso mirar cómo esos niños están sufriendo.
I, as a mother, have been looking at pictures of the Central American families at the border, and it's very painful for me.
A mí, hace días atrás que estuvieron las lluvias, mis dos niños al salir de la escuela se mojaron. Yo estaba en el trabajo, no pude recogerlos.
A couple of days ago, when it was raining, my children were out of school and they had to walk home and they got wet. And I was working, so I couldn't pick them up.
Y créanme que en ese momento pensé en esos niños, en esas madres que yo, con unos minutos que mis hijos se mojaron, me dolió hasta el alma. Estaba desesperada. Ahora imagínense esas madres, esos niños mojándose, están en la intemperie, no tienen bastante ayuda.
And my heart went out for those children, for those mothers, because I, as a mother, felt so bad, even if my children were only getting wet for a couple of minutes. And I was thinking about all those families and the children at the border, and they are outside without anything to protect them from the rain and from everything.
Pues muchas gracias. Les repito a cada uno de ustedes, Dios los bendiga en la acción que van a hacer mañana. Sé que lo están haciendo por un cambio para que todo este sistema cambie. Dios los bendiga, los acompañe mañana. Les deseo toda la suerte del mundo. Muchas gracias por escucharme.
Formerly known as Iraq Veterans Against the War, and I'm on the steering committee for the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival. And so, I am talking to you as somebody on the other side, somebody who was enlisted in the military as a nuclear biological chemical specialist for a war that had no weapons of mass destruction. So I think I know a thing or two about political grandstanding using the military. I fought for the freedom for our politicians to escalate diplomatic situations into violence. I fought for the freedom for us to be afraid of someone because they were born somewhere else. I fought for the freedom for us to ignore the plight of the refugee and the migrant from the endless military interventions this nation continues to fund. I fought for the freedom for us to gas children, gas we cannot even use in combat as it has been banned from war zones since 1993. I fought for the freedom to turn border patrol agents into a paramilitary force that can harm families because they are not subjected to the same rules that the military is. I don't fight for those freedoms anymore. No freedom is worth gassing children, separating parents from their children, killing migrants, pushing people into the desert to die, or forcing them to wait in tents that flood up to their necks. If you agree with me, no freedom is worth this.
No,
no freedom is worth it. Hurting people in this way. I think I did this because I forgot who I was, because I'm a millennial. My earliest memories are of a wall falling. A wall that they said would never come down. It was from a different time and a different place, but I remember being stationed at Kadena Air Force Base with my parents and us watching the Berlin Wall coming down on Japanese television and having no idea what it meant. And like Nelson Mandela says, it always seems impossible until it is done. So let us remember.
Let us make it so.
Amen.
somebody's trying to build that wall. And somebody's hurting our families. And we're going to say, somebody's hurting my brother, and it's gone on far too long. How many of you know the song? Okay, great. Somebody's hurting our brother, and it's gone on far too long. It's gone on far too long. It's gone on far too long. Somebody's hurting our brother, it's gone on far too long. And we won't be silent anymore. It's really simple. We're going to sing it a few times, and we'll all catch on.
Somebody's hurting.
Oppressive regime. I to hide. That his family might have been greeted with tear gas and rubber bullets. Or worse yet, he might have been taken from his mother's arms far too soon. As I retell the story of what we call a holy night, I am mindful, my friends, that there is no place in the United States where a minimum wage worker can afford a two-bedroom apartment. And there is still no place for over 500,000 unhoused people to lay their heads. Even as we sing songs of peace and of joy in this season, we are surrounded by chaos and fear. Instead of building bridges, our current administration seeks to build more walls. Instead of setting captives free, our government seeks appropriations for more private prisons and detention centers. As we sing of goodwill to all humankind, 40 million people struggle with hunger in the United States. Whoa. The world's greatest food-producing nation, where there has always been more than enough. This Jesus that we call the Prince of Peace, at least those who profess to follow the way, and yet there is no peace. There's no peace then, and there is no peace now. In the Gospel of Matthew, this Jesus himself confesses that he did not come to bring peace, but a sword. What is meant by this assertion? We get uncomfortable when people talk about swords. Jesus understood that the peace is not simply the absence of war, but the presence of justice and love.
Amen.
And while loving God and loving Jesus for some and seeking justice can be pursued without violence, it certainly will not come without conflict.
Yes.
I hate it when people say they are having a peaceful protest. There's no such thing as peaceful protest. There is nonviolent protest. But protest by nature cannot be peaceful. The pursuit of peace will cause division within families and conflict with friends and challenge to imperial notions of safety and control. The message of my faith is summarized as loving God and loving everybody else. As people of multiple faiths, we can do no less than this. It sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Just love God. It's easy enough for many to imagine, but loving people? Against violence at our borders.
Yes.
of human rights. If our faiths don't teach us this, then our faith is not worth much at all. Human rights activist and wisdom elder of our time, Ruby Sales, states it this way. We live with the tensions of a country imagined with the ideals of democracy, while at the same time the government bound these transcendental ideas with systems of oppression that included containment, surveillance and dehumanization and vilification of black and brown bodies to maintain white power and to fuel a predatory economic system. Why does she keep saying black and brown bodies? Because make no mistake, my friends, all of our borders are not closed. All of our borders are not being closed. All of the people entering here are not being tear gassed. Our current administration has horrified many in our nation by firing tear gas at asylum-seeking families on the southern border. My heart breaks, and there are no words appropriate for the testimony that we just heard of the inhumanity to which we have descended. And as people of faith, we cannot sit silently and watch such horror. Our faiths are clear. We must welcome always those in the midst of Exodus. We must value civil law, moral law, more than civil law. If America is ever to reach its greatest potential, we must commit ourselves to the courageous task of wrestling truth from the fabricated chaos of separation of humanity that white supremacist ideology demands. We must ask ourselves as people of faith, whose truths will we hold? Will we hold the truth of a nation built on the imperialistic subjugation of native people of this land? Will we acknowledge that those who seek to deny legal asylum today are the generational offspring of those who once sought asylum in these very borders? Will we hold the truth of a nation made strong by the stolen labor of the enslaved? Will we acknowledge the erasure of truths of the consistent and necessary were sold in my home city of St. Louis, Missouri. They were auctioned from the steps of the old courthouse. And the old courthouse in St. Louis overlooks the Mississippi River. Just on the other side of the river was freedom. As they auctioned off bodies, they forced them to look at a freedom that they could not claim. What must it be like to be so close to a new life, so close to liberty, so close to the pursuit of happiness, but be banned from pursuing one's legal right to asylum? We are a nation, my friends, held in tension with the truths that we espouse. Yes. A nation held in tension between aspiration and incarnation. A nation held in tension between God and grief. A nation held in tension between cruelty and compassion. A nation held in tension between a racist past and a righteous future. A nation held in tension between sanctimonious rhetoric and sacred intention.
Enough!
Our current immigration policies are not as much about safety as they are about separatist ideology. And yet, in this tension, we are called to bring hope. We stand in a long history of justice warriors. We stand on the shoulders of our ancestors who resisted slavery. We stand on the shoulders of those who fought for civil rights. We stand on the shoulders of those who fought for women's rights. We stand on the shoulders of those who fight for workers' rights and gay rights and the rights of the poor. We stand with Black lives and we stand with dreamers, and we affirm that God and not the empire will have the last word. Endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights.
been asked late last night to offer a water ritual because we are in need of healing, so much healing. Water in my tradition is related to the word bracha, blessing. Blessing is the same word, those letters form the same word for water that is unexpectedly coming up from the ground, that wellspring of water that rises up, that we drink from, that heals us, that gives us the strength to do what we must do, to mourn those lives lost, and to put ourselves on the line. Many of us in this room have much to atone for. So much atonement. So much reparation that we must make. And so, in a really simple way, I also feel like we need to touch each other. We need to physically be with each other in the appropriate ways. So I would like to invite those of you who are sitting here who, you know, the word, because I'm from New Mexico, the word migrant always rings a little strange because indigenous people have been walking the trail back and forth from Turtle Island to the south for 15,000 years. So for me to call people migrants when my ancestors came here in the 1830s and the people I lived among in New Mexico were here for thousands and thousands of years seems like the wrong use of language. In this moment, I would like to invite those of you who in your lifetime have come to Estados Unidos, to the aspiration of the United States. And those of you whose ancestors were forced here against your will on slave ships to come and stand in front, we're going to offer blessings and pour water from what we call a becher. We have used this cup to bless. So if you would come, I'm going to come down. And we're going to hold the water, and we're going to put hands on each other and say a blessing as we pour the water. It's okay if it's not clear. Please come up if you have the courage to come up. It's okay here. Would someone strong please hold this bowl of water? And those of you who would like a blessing, please come up, who have come to this place, if you feel safe to do so. And please stand in the center. And then those of you who would like to come up, and we're going to put hands on people. And then those of you who are not coming up, please rise and reach out across the aisle to hold hands so we can put hands on each other. So we need to put hands on the people up front.
Healing water. waters and protect us with love. May the spirit of life fill our hearts with grace, illuminate our minds, and give us hope and strength. May the spirit of life allow us to open our eyes and see the full humanity, the beauty, the power of each other, and grant us the peace that heals, the peace that restores, the peace that opens us to the world we want to see. And call out for the blessing of
justice,
redemption,
compassion,
love,
humanity,
courage,
transformation,
community,
openness,
belonging,
health,
strong spirit,
safety,
resilience,
revolution, justice,
dignidad,
no torture,
generosity,
joy,
safety,
dignity,
sufficiency,
wholeness,
healing,
rebirth,
reverence for the earth,
liberation,
restoration,
freedom,
organic health,
truth telling,
discovery,
passion for justice,
protecting the earth.
Today is the promise of tomorrow.
Mai, mai, bisason mi, mai neha Yeshua. Mai, mai, bisason mi, mai neha Yeshua. May the waters of joy and healing rise up from within our very being and bless this world and each human being and all living being with a blessing of wholeness, with a blessing of beauty, with a blessing of shalom, salam. And we say together, Amen. La 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 la.
Sing it through a couple times. You guys want to get on your feet with us? I'm going to go.
to war.
focus on. Whether it's fair wages, or hunger, or war, or mass incarceration. But that instead, when our immigrant brothers and our immigrant sisters are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
So no, it's not a time to stay apart. It's not a time to stay silent. We are preparing ourselves because justice is around the corner, and we must be ready. We must be ready, and we must stand up and fight. Because in history, whenever we face the forces of regression, moral movements have arisen to call us to higher ground. That's what the abolitionists did in the early 19th century. It's what the women suffragists did in the early 20th century. It's what happened in the 1950s and the 1960s when Rosa Parks and Septima Clark and Fannie Lou Hamer and Cesar Chavez and so many known and unknown grassroots leaders of every race, of every creed, of every sexuality, of every religion did when they fought for freedom, when they fought for civil rights. And it's what Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the welfare rights movement and many others called us to 50 years ago in the Poor People's Campaign, challenging the nation to address poverty and racism and militarism. As Reverend Barber said on the video this evening, as far back as Old Testament scripture, the book of Ezekiel teaches that when the poor and women and immigrants are being mistreated by politicians, the question is asked, who will stand in the gap? We need moral leadership who will step forward and stand in a gap. And all of you step forward. There's no turning back now. Deepest religious, our deepest constitutional, our deepest moral values to build, construct an agenda to establish justice, to ensure domestic tranquility, to provide for the common defense, to promote the general welfare. An agenda that resonates with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, whose 70th birthday is tomorrow, but whose contents are still not realized in this world, not realized at this border. A moral agenda calling for such ideas as health care for everyone, with no denial for pre-existing conditions. It calls for living wages and guaranteed income for the poor. A moral agenda that calls us to ensure labor rights, equal pay for equal work, for affordable housing, an end to warmongering and mass incarceration, clean air, clean water, clean land, equality in education, guaranteeing that every child receives a high-quality, well-funded, diverse public education with access to free college and universities, no matter their immigration status. be here if we didn't know that moral activism is required. Dissent, but then also disrupting the forces of injustice that disrupt our lives and our neighbors and our sisters and our brothers and our immigrant lives. Not with hate. No, with revolutionary love. We must love these yet-to-be United States enough to stand between the ICE agent or the border patrolman who has been ordered to do wrong and the immigrant neighbor who wants to do right. We must love this democracy enough to sue in the courts for it, to organize in the streets for it, and to go to jail in nonviolent civil disobedience for it. Anyone who knows me knows that I have a favorite quote from Reverend Dr. King on direct action. 50 years ago, when he was calling for the Poor People's Campaign, he said, "There is nothing wrong with a traffic light that says you have to stop for a red light. But when a fire is raging, the fire truck goes right through that red light, and normal traffic had better get out of its way."
Yes.
"Or when a man is bleeding to death, the ambulance goes through those red lights at top speed."
Not fair, sure.
"There is a fire raging now for the poor of this society. There is a fire raging for immigrants. Disinherited people from all over the world are bleeding to death from deep political and economic and social wounds. They need brigades of ambulance drivers who will have to ignore the red lights of the present system until the emergency is solved."
Yes, yes.
Astrologers, three magi, three prominent leaders, to visit baby Jesus. He does so because Herod is threatened by Jesus and also other young, oppressed people of his day, thinking they might rise up, they might become leaders in their own right, who might oust him from his power. They might end his unjust building project. They might end their unjust laws, his unjust policies. Folks might tear down his walls. They might welcome the stranger. They might declare love has no borders. Everybody has a right to live. So these astrologers set out bearing gifts. They have oil to anoint Jesus. They find Jesus and are excited about the possibilities of the change that he can bring in. Change that when those from the underside of history get together, they can win. But then these astrologers, instead of going back and reporting back to Herod, they send Jesus for harbor in Egypt, and they go home by another way. Just like the midwives in Moses' story, and those who helped the Underground Railroad during the abolitionist movement in U.S. history, there have got to be people willing to step forward and stand up for justice. There have got to be people who defy the authorities, who defy the status quo, and harbor the poor, and harbor the immigrant, and harbor those who would be free. There must be people who sign up to be ambulance drivers. Ambulance drivers willing to ignore the racism, the nationalism, the xenophobia, the poverty of our current system. Ambulance drivers who are willing to break down borders, tear down walls, proclaim freedom and justice for everyone, and rein in an end to racism, rein in an end to poverty, rein in an end to militarism, an end to ecological devastation, and an end to a distorted moral narrative that blames the poor, blames the immigrant for our problems, pits us against each other, and says that we don't have enough when God really created abundance. So this evening, this service has been about signing up ambulance drivers. And we're here to thank you who have already signed up. We're here to recognize and anoint freedom fighters who have put themselves out there, who will continue to put themselves on the line to ensure that everybody has life, everybody has liberty and dignity and justice. We are here to declare that somebody is hurting our people, and it's gone on for far too long, and we won't be silent anymore. So you who have gathered here are the people who will stand in the gap. And the AFSC has put out a call for a week of action across the country, and so many have responded. So as we get ready to be sent out from this place by the bishop, first turn to your neighbor and say, love has no borders.
Love
has no borders.
Love has no borders.
Say, we will stand in the gap.
Stand in the gap.
We will stand in the gap.
Say, everybody has a right to live.
Everybody has a right to live.
Everybody has a right to live.
Humanity
He walked across countries. He came to Mexico. He climbed on top of that train whose ride is so wicked and so wretched that it's called the Beast. He got to the border somehow. He crossed the border and landed on the property of a family he did not know and who did not know him. But from that moment forth, they were eternally bound together. Because on that land, the land of that family, he fell unconscious and died. They say he died of hunger and of thirst, but I wonder if he died of a broken heart, having lived in a world callous and without love. The family found him. They didn't know him. They didn't know what to do with him, but recognized that he was probably an unaccompanied migrant child just ahead of the migrant children, mothers and fathers, men and women, our brothers and our sisters, right down the road at the border. So they called the Border Patrol. And the Border Patrol came, three or four of the Border Patrolmen came, and when they saw that child dead on the ground, they did not know what to do. They fell on their knees and they wept. When there are signs of the lack of love, the appropriate response is to fall on our knees and weep. When there is no love, we must fall on our knees and weep. They called the local funeral home, who came and picked him up. They began to prepare him to do what is done with migrants, even little migrant children who die among us, who are unknown. But then the person who was preparing his body came across a very significant thing. As he took off that little boy's tiny little belt, he realized that there was something on the back of the buckle. It was a piece of paper that had been so carefully taped on the back of the buckle. And the message was a word of who this child belonged to and where he was going. And so I bless us, my brothers and my sisters, on this night in the spirit of that little boy who calls out to us saying, who do you belong to? And where are you going? I believe he wants to hear us say we belong to love, a love that knows no borders. I believe that his spirit, still present among us, longs to hear us say, we are going forth. We are going forth to live love so that migrant brothers and sisters and little children just a few miles from us will be encouraged, will be sustained, will be embraced and cared for with the deepest of love. I believe that child's spirit is wanting to hear us say that we're going forth to live lives of love that will join the love of many others, and eventually together will flow into the rivers of God's own love. A love that will one day heal this broken world, redeem it, and restore it to its rightful state of love. So be assured that as we go forth, God, our Creator, the source of love, will be with us, will strengthen us, and will hold up for us visions of a world transformed by love. So let us go. Let us go in joy, and let us go in peace. Above all, let us go.
Response.
like rising up for love. So if you just repeat after me.
For those of you who can give a hand, we've got a couple of things that we need. If anyone can